Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Bible study at 7 p.m. It's on Wednesdays. Now, on Sundays, service starts at 9 a.m., but we're there praying much earlier. We usually arrive there about 8:30 and have prayer at 8:45. And that's when we start calling on the name of the Lord and set the atmosphere to invite the Lord in. You know, you want to entreat the Lord wherever you are. If you're at home, if you're in your car, certainly in the place of worship, the building that has been consecrated and dedicated for the sole purpose of worship. Sole purpose of praise, a place where the Lord has hallowed his name. And so I want to invite you to join with us, to be there with us in prayer, and to certainly to seek the Lord and to help propagate the gospel, to help reach souls. There are so many souls that are yet to be reached. There are millions. You know, I think about the song, millions were called and millions couldn't have made it, but here I am. I'm one of the ones that did. And I believe that we all should be looking to help someone else. Salvation is not a selfish act, but it is a lifestyle, and it's about the saving of souls. The Lord said, I would that no man would perish, but that we all would come unto knowledge of truth. That's his will. And we believe the Bible is the word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We are certainly believe that the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. And I hope you feel the same. That's not just a cliche. It's not just something that we're reading, you know, or that is in my heart as the pastor. As a leader, as an administrator within churches. But the fact is that we believe the Bible is the word of God. And we're faithful to what God has to say. And we're bold, not in telling other people what to do, but bold in bringing ourselves into subjection to the word of God. But we resist wrong. We resist the suggestions of the enemy to do what is wrong. You know, let me go here with it. The Bible said that Moses, that he could have indulged in sin. You know, sin is pleasure. It has certain pleasure to it. But he refused. Are you refusing to indulge in the pleasure of sin? Or are you saying, I can't help it, I just have to do it? No one has to do anything except stand before God and give an account for the life in which they live. Now that's what all of us are gonna have to do. And the Bible is very clear about that it's appointed unto man to die. And after that, the judgment. And so whether it be through the grave or collectively when the Lord calls the church, and some of us are going to make it, and some that believe are not going to make it. But belief is not holiness. Belief says that you understand and you acknowledge, but it doesn't mean that you're living a lifestyle unless you are. All right. I want to remind you that time is passing by, and soon, Pentecost, the service that the dates and time that we set aside for this service unto the Lord is going to be here. And that's May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. And we'll be celebrating Pentecost services that is unto the Lord. And prior to that, from May 1st through the 30th, we'll be consecrating. And our consecration is to abstain from eating meat, fish, poultry, pork, beef. If it don't boil it, don't fry it, don't bake it, don't eat it raw or anything, leave the meat alone for those days as we consecrate unto the Lord. And we'll talk more about that as we get closer to that day, which is not far off. It's only a couple of weeks away. And so just want to remind you, and I'm going to continue to remind you, because we want to entreat the Lord. And if you're going to entreat God, you're going to have to do something. And that means you're going to get outside of yourself. You're going to have to get outside of your emotions, your mental. There's some physical attributes. You're going to have to set some things aside in order for your spirit man to have control. All right. Now, remember, your spirit man resides within the temple that you're in. You are in a body. You're in a temple. But remember this temple. Remember, I keep saying remember, because so many forget that you're much more than what you see when you look in the mirror. You're more than that. All right. Now, we're in the book of Genesis, touching what is referred to as the law of particularization, moving from the general to the particular, the universal earth, man, and spirit. We're touching the creation and the principal person who is the cosmological, meaning he is the cause of all things, and the teleological, the designing mind behind everything. And so we're going to have a word of prayer, and I solicit your prayers. Certainly we are doing a lot. I just use the word a lot just to simplify, but you know, the vision is big. It's bigger than myself. It's bigger than those around me. It's bigger than you. The vision is large. The vision is large. And so we're praying and looking for the Lord to bring some things to pass. We have many things that are ahead of us, and it requires prayer. There's opportunities that have been presented, and we are praying and seeking God. I hope that everyone is praying. I'm certainly praying and seeking the Lord on those things, because it's a great testimony to give at the appointed time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. Honor you for your love and your mercy, your kindness, how you have kept us throughout this day. Lord God, how you blessed us and the blessings that are on the way. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities, the doors that have been opened. We thank you, Lord God, for the doors that have been closed. Lord Jesus, we pray and ask for it to help us, Lord God, as we seek you to do your will, to live a sanctified life. Lord, and to encourage others, to provide assurance and comfort, to know that holiness is a lifestyle and that you require it of those that are going to dwell in the kingdom. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord. We pray and ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Help us to understand your word, receive what you have for us, Lord God, as we meditate on your word day and night, that we may be like the trees planted by the river of water that bring forth their fruit in their season, and that our leaves do not wither, and whatsoever we do should prosper. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, I hope that you have had a blessed day, and some of you are waking up, listening, and I appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule, and certainly for your heart and your desire is to be saved and to know the Lord, to hear his word. God bless you. God bless you. The 29th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the first verse, it says, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a whale in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well, they watered the flocks. And a great stone was up on the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks gather together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. So Rachel was a shepherd. All right. So she was a shepherd. She kept the sheep. It wasn't just left to the men to do it, but Rachel was also a shepherd. We're talking about Jacob's run this evening. And Jacob's run. Jacob is running. He's on the run. And so many people are on the run and have run from certain places to where they are even right now. Others are making plans to run. And some want to run, but they're afraid to run. They're scared to run. And, you know, we could go on. You know some people that have ran and where they are today. But listen, Jacob's on the run. Jacob's run. Like Jacob, many are running from a problem or two, maybe even more. Maybe they're still running with hope of escaping what they left behind. They ran to different zip codes, like Jacob did, though he didn't have zip codes to run to, but you know, you understand what I'm saying. People are running from city to city, state to state, or even countries. Sometime a change is required. And sometimes there's a necessity for us to run away. Yeah. Sometimes we need to get out of Dodge. I remember when growing up, and this changed over the years, but there was an opportunity for young men that were caught up in the gangs of Compton and Los Angeles and surrounding areas to escape. And so the judge would allow them to go into the military. And some of them, it turned their lives around because now they went into an environment that was disciplined and they didn't come out seeking to rejoin their former associates, but they went on with a lifestyle. Some didn't return to the States. They stayed in other parts of the world. It made a difference. They were able to run away. So running away is not always a bad thing. Now, they did change that over the years because they started to receive some people that that caused it to change because they would not submit themselves to change. And it caused a problem. And then there was also the political and finances behind it where they decided to build more prisons. And so, listen, sometime a change is required. As long as the unresolved issue becomes settled, the most important thing about change is that the issue that you are dealing with needs to be settled. It needs to be settled. Everyone must deal with issues and they must settle those issues. And it begins with us. It begins on the inside of us. It works its way to the outside and it what comes on the outside is what others see and are impacted by. Denial, procrastination, fear, and other influences can deter you from facing or dealing with what requires our attention. But we can prolong dealing with issues. We can walk around pretending it doesn't exist. And all we're doing is really hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. Jacob was fleeing a long list of things. He was running for his life because his brother had verbalized that I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him for what he's done. Now, we see in Genesis, the 25th chapter, Jacob took advantage of his brother and walked away with his birthright. Jacob understood Esau. He understood his brother. And so when Esau came in, talking about how famished he was and what good is a birthright, you know, it's like someone coming in and saying, well, you know, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted from work. Well, what good is me holding on to my Chevy? You know, I'm so tired. I'm not going to be able to drive. I'm just going to die. So I might as well. And so someone walks up, your little brother comes in and say, hey, well, you know what? I have a pastrami and some onion rings, man, that can satisfy your hunger, but you're going to have to give up the keys to that Chevy. And you give up the keys. You're not getting them back. Nope. You're not getting them back. And so that's what Esau did. And I know that really simplifies it, but we need simplicity to understand what's going on. Genesis, the 27th chapter, really breaks it down for us again. First, Jacob disguised himself as his brother to receive the blessing that his father Isaac was going to give to Esau. Now, that in itself, that this trickery, this demonstrative and audible deception that Jacob got over on, you're going to tell me that you wouldn't be upset about that? You would be hotter than fish grease, because certainly Esau was. Jacob took advantage of his father's relationship with Esau. He took advantage of him. Now, remember, Esau was one that hung out in the field and, you know, and his dad played catch and did all this outdoor stuff together. Whereas Jacob hung around his mom and did a lot of indoor stuff. And he was going to bless Esau. And when his mom heard, she disguised Jacob. Jacob went along with it because Jacob was like, wait a minute, hold it. I don't want to be cursed. And she was like, well, let it be up on me. And he's like, okay, and went along with it. And this really was upsetting to Esau, as you can imagine. We do things sometimes that upset other people. And because we think we got away with it, or we, you know, it hurt someone else. It hurt them. And then we walk watching out for our six, looking over our shoulder and being careful because of the shabakery that we had carried on, the shenanigans. Jacob's actions placed a yoke on Esau's neck that Esau had to overcome. So when Isaac blessed Jacob, gave him the blessing, and then Esau came into the room and asked for the blessing. And the father said, well, I don't have anything. I've already gave it away. And he said, it's going to come to pass. What I say is going to happen. You know, what you say, you need to realize that it's going to happen. You're sowing the seed of some things. And we have to be careful what we sow into the spirit of our children. And it begins with us. We have to be careful what we sow into our homes. What we sow into our relationships, our marriage, our on the job, and different things where we speak things out And those words, one, it's like a bullet. It leaves the gun. You cannot draw it back in. It's not coming back. It's out there. And it's going to do, is either is going to do some damage or it's going to do some good. Okay. Well, you shot a gun. Is it? Well, if you're shooting at the right thing, it's going to do what it was intended to do. Maybe you were hunting. Maybe you're just having target practice. And so it's nothing wrong with those things. But if it's done maliciously, then it's going to cause some harm. If it's done without, with malice aforethought, you intended to do damage, then that's a different story. You know, you laid in wait to do something. That's different. That's different. And so Jacob's actions placed this yoke upon Esau. And Esau had to overcome. And so it was going to be a rough life because Esau was not going to be blessed until he overcame the situation. And this is what his dad told him. Jacob's action caused Esau to react, inflicting pain on his mother and father. So because of what Isaac, because of what Jacob did, because of what Rebekah did, Esau got even. Because Isaac asked Jacob to please don't marry any of the women of this particular land. Don't marry them in the Canaan, but go over to your mother's brother, go over to that area and choose a wife from over there. And Esau was like, okay, well, since you hurt me, I don't care. He's hurt. And, you know, when people are hurt by what you do, they strike back. And they also do things that will inflict pain upon you. So hurt causes pain. It causes pain. And so he caused pain upon Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob had to run for his life at this point. Now, again, change is not bad. It's uncomfortable. It can be uneasy. If you've ever had to change jobs unexpectedly, you went to work and they said, well, listen here, we're reducing the workforce and you are one of those that are going to participate in the reduction unwillingly. And in California, it is a at will contract between employer and employee. And so either one of you can walk away. Now, the thing that gets me is that when they come and give you a pink slip, they don't give you a 2-week notice, no matter how much work you have on your desk. They do not give you 2 weeks. They give you that moment to get your things together and to leave the premises. But when you turn in a notice, they want you to give a 2-week because now they tell you that we don't have no one to take over the work. Well, when they give you a pink slip or a blue folder, whatever document they give you, they didn't have nobody in place to take over the work that you were doing either. No, even if you were training someone that think they could take it over, if the work could be much more than what they anticipate. And so many have found that out. I know they did where I was employed for a long period of time, that my workload was extremely stressful. The manager, one of the managers said, I don't know how you were able to organize and to keep this workflow going all these years. He found out and he was not able to handle it and he quit. Listen, my point is that change happens suddenly and it's not comfortable all the time. It's not easy. And it can be filled with challenges, but it can also be rewarding. You may find yourself forced out of doing something that you are doing and it opens another opportunity. And I know we like to say when the door is closed, you know, God opens another door. And, you know, we have all these sayings to encourage people's hearts. But listen, sometimes that takes time. It's not that it take God time to do anything. It's that we have to prepare if we're unprepared, or what we think we may be interested in, something else is dictated because of the circumstances. Change redirects us. It replaces acquaintances. It begins new relationships, and it terminates others. It also includes fellowships. It causes things to happen where someone that we may have been buddies with, we're no longer buddies. So we could say that we were work buddies, you know, and so that friendship existed as long as we saw each other from day to day. And after a while, it starts to subside. You know, it's such a blessing that when you have friends that you look back, you know, I was telling my, was reminding children that people that they see me with and that I know, we've been on each other for well over 45 years. And that's awesome in itself, because you don't find that many people still together after such a long period of time, where they're still in fellowship and loving on one another and enjoying life and calling and checking on each other. Change redirects us. It replaces acquaintances. It does things in our lives that we did not anticipate. We look at and say, I never thought I would be here. Repositioning from where you were and are requires for success in many instances. There are times that we have to change. Jeremiah 1:10 says, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So that redirection, the change that occurs, it requires to be uprooted. It requires some things to be pulled down, some things to be destroyed and to be thrown down. So that's violent, you know, violently done. And you're like, well, why did that happen? That was just so wrong. It needed to be violently done in order to build and to plant. Now, you know, in order to plant, to build and to plant, you have to dig the ground up and you have to cut some trenches in the dirt and you have to break the soil and different things that occur in order for seeds to be planted, in order for building to occur. You thought the individuals that you were once knew stopped visiting because something you may have said or done. But when God is calling, or when God wants to separate you, when God wants something else to be done, then he will cause things to change. And so it's not that they dislike you or anything. It's just that God is just weaning you from where you are in order to bring you where he wants you to be. And so because of those things, you may have, it's not something you've done. God has called you and it begins a process. A process begins. And so you have to understand that we're all in a process. If you are seeking the Lord, if you're looking, now this process, I've heard people pick up this saying, they heard comedians do it, they heard others do it, and they just go on with it. But they like to say, God is not finished with me yet, while they continue in sin. Listen, the Bible said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So no, we don't continue in sin and then say, well, God is not finished with me. No, when we stop at the stop sign, no one has to usher us there. We stop at the stop sign because it says stop. And so when God says stop, and I don't care how smooth the car was going, how fast it was going, what you drive and how good you might have looked in it or anything like that. You may have just finished waxing it, you know, giving it that summertime wax job so you can roll it out. You armor all the tires, the dashboard and everything, and it's looking good. That sign says stop. You stop. When God says stop, all of us must stop. When God says go, we must go. Ezekiel 21, verse 26, 27, it says, thus said the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low. See, change is occurring. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. So change is occurring. There's a replacement that is occurring. Someone that is in a lower position is being brought up front, and someone that is up front is being placed down. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come who right it is, and I will give it to him. So God turns things. He causes things to shift and to change so that it lines up with his will. It lines up with his will. Now, remember, Solomon was king. Yeah, David became king. But even while Solomon was king, God had already called David into the role. He didn't occupy the space, but the calling was upon him. And so there are many that are called, and the calling is upon them to fulfill a certain role that God has for them. And you may have the call and know it and understand. You know, I remember that when ministry, being called into ministry, it occurred in my teen years. It didn't fulfill for almost double that space of time. But I knew that there was ministry, and there was a time in my life where I felt that because of what was going on in my life and where I was, you know, as they would say, you wasn't saved all your life. No, I wasn't. And so I wanted to walk away from even that, from ministry and, you know, the calling, even though I knew it existed. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. And my children began to pray. They were going to church, and they would get on the church bus and go. They would begin to pray, and things began to change. And things begin to shift. God began to overturn things. And change began to occur, just like it did for me, it will for you. The Bible tells us that Jacob ran not only for his life, but into the arms of Genesis 25. This is where he ran into. And he didn't know he was running into this. We're looking at it now because it's been documented and it's been broken down such. Thank God for those that have taken the time and the Spirit of the Lord led them to break the word of his word into chapters and verses. And the children struggled within her. Rebecca, during her pregnancy, was having problems. And the children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? If this is of God, why is it such a struggle? I'm telling you, I could just take that right there and run with it in a whole different, but time does not permit. But if it be so, why am I having so many problems? If I'm in the will of God, why are things occurring the way they are? What's happening if I'm in the will of God that I'm dealing with this situation? I'm dealing with the situation over here. There's a situation on my right hand, my left hand. There's a situation in front of me. There's a situation behind me. When I lay down, there's a situation over me. There's a situation, I feel like there's one under me. I'm just surrounded by problems, a struggle. And sometimes you might find yourself in a struggle. And you don't know why. And I don't, and because things are occurring that you can't see. She couldn't see why there was a struggle going on. The Bible said, and she went and asked the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. So there are two nations. There's two establishments that are occurring, and they have different manners. Different characteristics. You have to understand that everything you deal with, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My God. Everything you deal with has a different characteristic that come along with it. It has a different characteristic. And so because it has a different characteristic, you have to deal with the characteristic of that thing. Holy Ghost. And so two manner of people shall be separated from Nabal. And one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. This is what Jacob had run into. And he didn't know it. He didn't know it at the time that he encountered this. Some of our struggles were seen before, long before you arrived. God knew some of us, where we would be, what we would be doing. God knew, and I left that blank. You can fill in the blank. Whatever that blank is, God knew what you would become, how you would act. He knew your characteristic, and you can fill in the list of things that you want to fill in right there. But he knew it already. And he also knew we would run from zip code to zip code. He knew we would run from state to state, from country to country and other places in search of some relief from what we were involved in. Now, I believe God deserves the our best. I believe you deserve I made it praise right here. Just, Lord, I made it. Thank you. Thank you. I've made it from where I was. You gave me an opportunity to start over. You gave me a chance to escape from where I was, Lord God, and you overturned it. And here I am right now. And don't know if where I am right now is going to be overturned again in order to get me where he wants me to be. There's going to be change. We go from grace to grace. We go from faith to faith. And so understand and know that when it's God's timing, he will cause things to change. There's something about when God causes things to change that others see it. So you're not alone, because the Bible said out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. You don't have to tell no one God is doing something in your life. Others will see it without you telling them. And that's what I love about God. You don't have to say anything. If you live in a consecrated life, you don't have to say nothing. You don't have to say anything. I've heard others, and I've experienced it, just going into the store and someone saying, hey, you're a man of God. I had on gym clothes. And my gym clothes did not say Anchor Above. It didn't say Jesus Save. It didn't say anything like that. It was just my clothes, my regular plain old raggedy T-shirt that I like to get comfortable in, and my Adidas shorts. And it's what they saw. I was sitting in a class one day, and I looked over at someone I knew, and I could see the Shekinah glory on them. They were illuminated. There was a light all over them. And I said, hey, I said, you got baptized, huh? And he said, yeah, he had just got baptized Sunday. That wasn't at the church that he was at. Wasn't there. But when I saw him, when I run into him, I saw that God was with him. And there are others with the same testimony. You don't have to walk around telling no one. If you live a sanctified life, God will let it be seen. The Bible said a man's gift will make room for him. Whatever gift that God has called and placed upon you in your life for you to operate in, it will operate without you trying to force it upon anybody. Yes, it will. It will operate. I'm not doing testimony service. I know there's some that do a testimony service. They like to sneak a preach, you know, but that's not a time. A testimony is when you tell what God has done for you. You talk about what God is doing. It's to his glory and to his praise. It has nothing to do with the devil. And the devil did. No. It's about God and what he's done. Don't get no glory. Don't waste your voice and your speech giving glory to talking about what the devil did. Talk about what God is doing. And keep it simple, keep it short, so that others can have an opportunity to. And then when it's your time, your pastor will see it. Others will see it. If God has called you and gifted you in a certain thing. And because when God shows it, he shows the truth about it. You might desire to be an evangelist, But God may not call you to be an evangelist because you looked at it, thought it was glamorous because so many have glamorized it. You know, I was thinking about the pastoralship a couple of hours ago, and I was like, you know, I don't think people think it's as one, it's not glamorous. And I don't think there's as many people that's rushing into it thinking it's glamorous today as it used to. And certainly kingdom building is not about or not a vacuum for finances and to establish a business. It's not about this. It's about the saving of souls. Now, of course, the church needs finances, like your home needs finances to keep the lights on, to have a tangible place of worship. And that's what it's for. But it is not a get rich scheme that some have turned it into. And shamefully, God deals and will deal with them about that. But listen here, when it's true of God, others will see it. And you and out of the mouth of 2-3 witnesses, every word shall be established. When you look back over your life and what you escaped from, know God is with you. You know he was with you in the pain. You know the suffering that you went through. You know the mistreatment that you had to deal with. And I'm not talking about that mistreatment and stuff where you caused it. I'm talking about when God is with you and the things that the pain of suffering. Now, God uses pain. He uses suffering to move us. Now, don't get me wrong. God uses those things. And you'll find that in the book of Acts as an example. Now, and that's not the only example. You can actually see it throughout from Genesis to Revelation, where God is using pain and suffering to move people from place to place to get them into the place where he needs them to be at for his will to be accomplished, because we are unwilling participants sometimes. And so it requires that. It requires a little push sometimes. And so if you're wise, when you feel that little push one time, after a while, it don't take all of that, because you get the message that I heard your voice. I'm going to do it. All right. All right. Listen, when you look back over your life and what you escaped from, you know God was with you. He was with you in the pain. He was with you in the suffering and other situations you found yourself unexpectedly involved. Jacob's journey is at the beginning, and a new chapter from what we know so far is about to begin. How about you? Are you aware that today a new chapter in your life began? Another page of details was added to your daily diary? Well, man, I'm manly. I don't have a diary. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. All of us have a diary, a daily book of daily activities that is being kept. All of us. The Bible is very clear that the books were open. And so and those that feared the Lord and often spake one to another, a book was written about that. So there are volume of books. And I love reading books myself, but I'm a tech head, so I read a lot of technical stuff. Listen. And you read what you want to read, but make sure that in your reading that you're also reading the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Genesis, the 29th chapter, it says, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And Jacob's actions are dictating the moves, just as the actions that you take will dictate yours. And when he arrived, he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that, they were going to water the flocks. Now, the sheep were gathered for the purpose of being watered. Now, this was some kind of task that was occurring, because the shepherds had to get the herds together, move them together to the place to be watered, train them so that they would stick together. And then they had to wait. And while they were waiting, they had to manage the herd. They still had to manage the herd while they were waiting and keep those herds separate, so that, you know, knowing what was theirs and what belonged to someone else. It's no different than managing people. We're considered to be like sheep by God. If you have ever been a director, a manager, a lead, you know, then you understand. Now, Jesus understood, and this is why he said in John, the 10th chapter, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." So if you come, try to come up any other way to get into the presence of the Lord, to get into the kingdom, you're a thief and a robber. Now, I don't care how much philosophy and how good it sounds, you still have to repent of sin, and the sins need to be remitted in the name of Jesus, as Acts 2:38. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If any man have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. And that's what the scripture says. I didn't make that up. All right. If you try to come up any other way, I'm a good person, and God's going to let me in the kingdom. But your righteousness is as filthy rags. All of us are found there. And so listen. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the shepherd hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, a Sunday message was exhorting and ask the question of, who are you serving? You have one life. And who are you serving? Because the scripture is clear and tells us that whoever you yield yourself to, that's your master. So if you're yielding yourself to sexual immorality, that's your master. Mm-hmm. That's dictating your lifestyle. If you're yielding yourself to lying, you're a liar. And that has become your lifestyle. That's your master. And the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of all liars. If you yield yourself to stealing, you're a thief. And he's a thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to steal the opportunity that God has given for your soul salvation. And I could go on with that, but listen here. Who and what are you yielding yourself to? And don't you have to be careful not to try to hide what you're doing, because the Bible said, he that keepeth Israel does not slumber or sleep. So God shows, he sees what's going on, and he shows leaders what is among the flock. The Bible speaks about a gentleman who took something that he should not have occurred. Now, his name is evading me right now. Oh, my God. He hid it in his tent. He buried it. Thought that nobody wouldn't know it, but God saw it. And he brought it to the leader's attention. And so you have to be careful that you might think that, well, you know, nobody sees me and they don't see what I'm doing. But there are things that God showed the pastor that the pastor may not deal with it immediately, or may deal with it subtly, giving you a chance to repent and change. And so you need to understand that. You need to understand that God sees it all. He sees what's going on. He sees what we're doing. He sees what's not being done. And so a stranger, are you following a stranger? Now, the other thing is that all of a sudden you have a strange praise. Okay. Just that word strange or stranger by itself. All of a sudden, your praise is strange, and you have to be careful, because there are some that all of a sudden they have a strange praise. And so you want to be careful about what you do, because God let these things stand out. He let them stand out so that they can be seen and dealt with. So a stranger, they will not follow. They will not follow. Achan. You don't want to be an Achan and try to hide what's going on, what you're doing. If you plan on being saved, be honest, be truthful. But if you're not trying to be saved, if you trying to play around with this, why go to hell in a crunch? Because you're going to find yourself there. You're going to find yourself lost. And then trying to pretend like, I wonder how I got here. But you already know how you got there. And listen, I say that because the Bible said hell is rising up to meet them. And so that's a subject for another day. But I want to put that out there that if you are playing with God, there's something that is rising up to meet you. Well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because it came across my heart to let you know that if you're playing with God, that something is rising up to meet you. So stop playing with God. The third verse says, and thither were all the sheep gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again. This is the process. The shepherds were organized and they agreed upon a process. One, they agreed upon a process that they felt would be fair to their flocks and others and preserve water rationing. They worked together because there was this was a sealed will, and so they had to work together to move the seal too. It's nice when the will of God is being done. It's nice that we should work together instead of acting like crabs and pulling each other down. We should be working together. And I believe that there's a ought that is against many because there's not a willingness to help anyone. It's a selfish thing that, well, I'm working this block and I'm not going to help you in your block. I'm working this block and I don't want you to help me in my block. But I thought we were all part of the body. And so that creates an issue, but it's nice when we all work together. I was thinking about religious traditions and organizations and how they function and how they, and then the non-functioning a part of it. But yet God has called us into this. And so there are parts of it that function, and then there are parts because of man's desire where it doesn't function the way that God calls it to function. It would be nice if we work together, if we see a church struggling, and that you allow the gift that you have to work and to help them spiritually and naturally. This is what we read about in the Bible. We read about this where they work together to help rather than to talk about someone. Your church has 20 members and my church has 40, but I'm going to talk about your 20. I'm going to talk about your 5 instead of helping. The gift of evangelism is for that purpose. Now, we're not talking about gifts tonight, but I just want to be clear that the evangelists would go and help and then return back to where they were and then go give a report. It's the same with elders. They would go and help and then come back with a report. It would be so nice. Think about how wonderful it would be that suddenly the minister shows up, helps your congregation out, no hidden agenda. I know that that's a concern, but no hidden agenda. You know, when we established the church that I grew up in, we were at a daycare having service. Someone allowed us to use their daycare and we were in service. We would come in, set up the few chairs, those a few folding chairs, and we would have church, you know, singing unto the Lord. And there was a bishop and his wife that was on their way to minister at another church. However, as they drove by where we were, they heard us praising the Lord. Now, we're in a little daycare, as some churches are in schools and using auditoriums and using different places that they're renting. And we didn't have no big illuminated sign. Our sign probably looked like it was about the size of 11 by 14 with some writing on it. But this man heard the praise that was going on. And him and his wife turned around and came to service. And they stayed with us for years. And it was a major help because he helped our pastor with some of the things that were, that was needed to be understood in the pastoralship. And when his work was done, him and his wife, after I think they were with us for maybe 4 or 5 years, but afterwards left and went back south where they continued to minister. Matter of fact, while they were down south, they run. There was another member that was at our church that left, chasing after some guy, and went down south, and they bumped into her, and drew her back into the church. God knows how to use individuals to help the ministry, but the ministers also have to be open to allowing others to help. And that makes a difference. That's what it's about. So it'd be nice when we all work together and help each other and allow God to come in and let the gift work as it is needed to work. We need to run from some things, but we need to run in the direction that God is calling us to run in. The Bible says, and Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said unto him, we know him. We know him. And he said unto them, is he well? Is everything okay? And they said, he is well. All is well. Bless your Lord Jesus. It's well. And then they pointed out that Rachel, his daughter, was coming with the sheep. And they would all be waiting to move the rock and to water the sheep. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and we bless your name. I ask, Lord God, that you would help us. You see us right where we are. We can't run from you. We can run in to the east, the west, the north, and the south. And as the psalmist said, if I make my bed in the water, if I make my bed in hell, if wherever I am, you'll see me and you know me. You know my coming in and my going out. Lord God, I pray and ask that you would help us, Lord God, to follow you and follow your direction, to do your will. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen, I want to encourage you again to visit connectingtruth.org. If you have a question or a testimony that you'd like to give, share it with us. If it's something personal or confidential, it will remain personal and confidential as well. If it's a question, then we'll answer those questions openly so that without divulging names or anything like that, because there's others that have questions that may not have asked. And so, listen, I thank God for each of you that have joined in. I see someone says that we need to talk. Nick, I'll take your call. If you call in right now, then I'll answer that call. So I'm going to give you a moment here to call in. Or send me an email at connectingtruth.org. Connectingtruth.org. Go to the website and send the email there. Bless your Lord Jesus. Bless your name. Continue to pray for us. Remember the Pentecost service that is coming up. Continue to pray for us that the Lord will have his way, that souls will be blessed. And as we are laboring, we're laboring and seeking the Lord that his will is done. And, you know, like I said, there are some big things that are occurring. He's a big God and he has big things that occur with us, meaning you and those with you and around you. All right. Well, God bless you. Continue to pray for us again, as I've made that request several times. And the Lord say the same. We'll be back on Sunday at 9 a.m. Share the gospel with someone else. Share the link with them that they may be blessed also.